Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus lay right in the midst of everything. Why were the parents in Jerusalem on that day? Because it was required in the law of the Lord that when a woman had given birth to a son, she was to go through a period of purification for 40 days, after which the son was to be taken to the temple in Jerusalem and presented to the Lord. And there were sacrifices that were prescribed for the birth of a son, also for the birth of a daughter. And so the parents of the Lord Jesus, bringing him to Jerusalem, they were doing for him what the law required. And thereby we ought to take comfort. Why is that? Because already in his helplessness and his infancy, the Lord Jesus was stepping into our situation and doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He was keeping the law of God perfectly on behalf of sinful humankind. So when you see Jesus in the midst of this long passage in which it seems to be talking about Anna and about Simeon and about Mary and Joseph, and there's lots of stuff going on, but smack dab in the middle of it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, who by his coming into the world, by his entering into our situation, by his humbleness and his lowliness, and by his obedience to the law, he is already beginning to redeem us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. That being said, there's a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon. And St. Luke describes him as a man who was just and devout. What does that mean? It means that Simeon was righteous and devout by means of the Word of God. You know, we come across people in the Bible like Simeon and like Anna, and we say, you know, how did those people get that way? And why isn't it that all the people are not like that? Well, you know, that's the mystery of the power of the Word. The power of the Word as it is accepted and as it is rejected. Right? Simeon was just and devout because he heard the Word of God in faith, just like you do. And God, the Holy Ghost, worked in his heart through the Word to enkindle in him a trust in the Lord's provision, and that's what it means to be just. To be just does not mean that he lived an upright life. To be just means that he was justified by God through faith in the Word of God. So he was just and he was devout. Faith in Christ gives birth to good works, to the practice of one's religion. And so the faith that was kindled in the heart of Simeon showed itself by a life of devotion to the Lord and his Word. And it says of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. If you remember last Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Advent, the Old Testament lessons said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she hath received double for all her sins at the Lord's hand. Simeon was waiting for the fulfillment of that consoling message. In other words, he was waiting for the coming of Christ. All right? And it says finally about him that the Holy Ghost was upon him. So, what does it mean to be a believer in the world today? It means that you are justified by faith in Christ. It means in living faith, you desire and are moved by the Holy Ghost to live a godly life in this world, and you are confident in the Lord who has provided you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, which He gives to people not through their activities and through their emotional outbursts, but the Holy Ghost is given as we hear the Word of God and by the grace of God believe it. So there's nothing about Simeon that's not true about you and me who are in Christ. Except for one thing. And that is, it says to him, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, the events surrounding important things in the Bible are usually attended by extraordinary actions of God. You know, when you read the Bible from cover to cover, one of the things that you notice is that there are certain times when miracles are popping like popcorn. And there are other times when nothing stupendous at all seems to be happening. There are times when the people of God are astounded and marvel at the wonderful things that they behold, the signs and wonders that God works at certain important key times in His history of His dealings with men. And then there are other times when not so much. Well, the most important work of God is the sending of His only begotten Son. You know, people often say, oh yeah, so a virgin conceives and bears a son. Right. And then Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem and she gives birth to this child and the angels appear to shepherds. Right. And then the heavenly hosts sing glory to God in the highest. Right. And here we got, and this old guy in the temple gets a special revelation from the Lord that he won't die until he sees the Christ. Right. Right. People, because they do not experience dramatic signs and wonders in their daily life, they doubt that these things truly happen because they don't know this one thing, and that is the economy of miraculous activity. God's job, God is not Santa Claus, all right? His job is not to constantly make you happy. All right? God's job is to save your soul. And sometimes it is necessary for your faith to be tried and tested. And so it is not always God's will to work through miraculous signs and wonders. But just because we don't see dramatic signs and wonders publicly performed does not mean that they didn't happen back then. Because God always gave signs and wonders to point to the importance of the unfolding salvation events. The miracles were God's way of saying, pay attention to this. Pay attention to what's going on. This is a key event in salvation history. That's the thing that miracles serve. Miracles are not promised to every generation and to every person for every circumstance. Yes, God has promised to hear and answer our prayers, and He does so very often in very notable ways. But the practice of overt, outward, undeniable miracles is something that is rare. And just because we don't see them today doesn't mean that we should dismiss them when they happen, because you have an entire Bible that teaches you that God does miracles in order to highlight certain key events. So, you and I, we don't get special revelations from the Holy Ghost. Right? The revelations that we receive from the Lord are the revelations that He speaks to us by means of His Word, the Bible. That's how God speaks to us. All right? In many ways and at many times, God spoke to us in time past by the prophets. But now in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. You see, that's how the book of Hebrews begins. And what it's telling us is that in Christ and in the preaching of His chosen apostles, God has revealed everything that He has to say to the world. And we do not need to seek special revelations from God, because we have the full revelation of His will and grace in the gospel, in the New Testament, in the deeds and doings of Christ. So, God had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And then it says he came by the Spirit into the temple just when Mary and Joseph show up with the baby Jesus to do for him according to the commands of the law. And the minute that Simeon saw the infant Jesus, now, how did he know? He knew. Why? Because he had faith in the Word of God. Because he had the Holy Spirit of God. So how did he know that that ordinary looking baby, because he had the witness of the Spirit within him? You know, it's just like you can have a group of people gathered together in church around the Word of God. Some people who hear the exact same thing that you do, their hearts remain cold and hard. They think the whole thing is completely boring, and they can't wait until the service is over, because they have hardened their heart against the Lord and they can't see it. It's just a bunch of religious gobbledygook to them. And at the very same time that these people with hard hearts remain impassive and blind to the good news of Christ, you, by the grace of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost, are edified, enlightened, made glad, and filled with faith. Why is that? It's entirely due to the power of the good news of God, through which we receive the peace of God, the faith of God, and the grace of God. So when Simeon came in, saw the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms, and he said, he quoted the TLH. You know, they had the Lutheran hymnal back then. You know. And he held the child and he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." Let me put that in plain English. Lord, you have kept your word, and now I can die in peace. Just like you said, you have been faithful, and now I can die in peace because my eyes have seen thy salvation. What, was he seeing angels flying around? No, he was looking at an ordinary boy, just like you look at an ordinary book. All right? Here you have an ordinary book, or at the Lord's altar, you have a sip of wine and a little piece of bread. And it looks so ordinary, it looks so ordinary that many false believers and false teachers think that it really is nothing more than a piece of bread and a sip of wine, and not the very body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for us on the cross, and now is given to us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. They don't see it because it looks so lowly. It looks so ordinary. The water of baptism, a little thing, and you pour it on the baby, and it looks like cute but nothing special. But listen to me. Just like that baby Jesus, cute as he surely must have been, was God in flesh made manifest, so it is that when we use the word of the Lord and when we use the sacraments which he has administered, though apparently weak, lowly, and beggarly, there is the power of God manifest for our salvation. And so he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation," looking at this little baby. "My eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared before the face of all people." That is, you did this, and you did this outwardly as a historical event in the world. You didn't do it in the never-never land of mythology. You did it right smack dab where people live. In the town of Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, a woman giving birth to a baby. And that baby, as ordinary as any other baby in appearance, is God manifested in the flesh. So Mary and Joseph, they hear this wonderful word about Jesus from Simeon, and they marveled. They marveled at the word spoken because, you know, here's the thing. The gospel is ever new. No matter how many times you hear it. Why is that? Because your flesh tends to take things for granted. Your flesh tends to not fully absorb spiritual things. And so there are times when you begin to slip, when you begin to fall into a little bit of indifference or whatever it is, and then the gospel comes to you, and it's like you've never heard it before, and it renews you and fills you with joy. So it is. Mary and Joseph, they knew who Jesus was. You know, there's that abominable contemporary Christian music song. You've probably heard it if you listen to contemporary Christian music. "Mary, did you know?" Do you ever hear that song? "Mary, did you know?" So next time you hear that song, You just scream at the radio, "Yes, you blockhead, Mary knew. Mary had the angel of the Lord appear to her and tell her exactly what was going to happen. She knew that her son was God in flesh made manifest. She never doubted it." But, you know, because Jesus looked like a baby, he had to have his diapers changed, he had to be fed, he had to go through all the things. Sometimes that knowledge kind of faded into the background as the ordinariness of daily life had to continue. And then every once in a while, something like this would happen and Mary would go, "Oh boy." You know, and that's the way it is with us. You know, sometimes we come to church, we hear the word of God, it's like, yeah. And then sometimes we come, we hear the same thing, and we're like delighted. Why is that? Because we're human beings, and sometimes the most delightful things bore us because we're distracted, because we got stuff going on in our lives and our minds are only half present. And then other times, it's no greater of a sermon, no greater of a church service than last week, but you're delighted and you celebrate and your heart rejoices, because that's the way it is with us. So Mary and Joseph are marveling at the things said, and then Simeon takes Mary aside. And he doesn't take Joseph. This is interesting. He doesn't take Joseph aside. But he takes Mary aside and he says this, "Behold, this child is set," that is, he's appointed, right? This is why he comes. "He is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against." What he's saying to Mary is this: many people will reject Jesus and they will fall into eternal damnation. But others will believe in Jesus and they will rise to everlasting life. This child is set. He's appointed by God to accomplish this thing. Some people will hear him and see him, and they will disbelieve in him, and they will fall into hell. Other people who are no less sinful will hear him, see him, believe in him, and be saved for eternity. And that's the way it is, and that's why Jesus came into the world. "For a sign which shall be spoken against." And he is still spoken against today. You know, we talk about these phony Christmas wars that go on every year, where people are, you know, the militant Christians are demanding that everybody say Merry Christmas. "Say Merry Christmas, you bum." Right? And then the liberals are like, "Oh no, we don't want people to have their heads pop off from offense, so we're just going to say things like season's greetings and happy holidays." Me, I used to care about this stuff when I was younger, but listen, if you want to have a lousy Christmas season, enjoy yourself being lousy. All right? I, on the other hand, want to enjoy the word of the gospel. And whether you want to participate in that or not, I'm speaking of the world in general, suit yourself. Suit yourself. Everything's going to come out in the wash in the long run. There are people who speak against Jesus, and they are setting themselves up for a fall, and it will be an everlasting fall. And there are those who, in the same sin, with the same weaknesses, they hear the word of Jesus, and their hearts take delight in him. They rise from the dead, and they rejoice in the Lord. And Simeon says to Mary, this is what this child is all about. He will be a sign spoken against. And then he says to her, and this is why he separates her from Joseph. and says this in particular. He says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." So he tells her that she has great suffering in store for her, that she is going to be alive and present when her son suffers, is crucified, dead, and buried. And so he says, "A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." And then he encapsulates it by saying that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. All right? So the reaction to Jesus, the reaction to the Word of God, shows you where a person's heart is at. Those who believe in the Lord and take comfort in the gospel show by that they are among the children of God. Those who harden their hearts, refuse to rejoice, refuse to understand, refuse to get in on the great gift that is there for them just as much as it is for the others, they show thereby that their hearts are hard and that they are paving their own way to eternal damnation. All right, let's just say one more thing here. Anna, this elderly woman who has spent her entire life going to the temple every day, fasting and praying, and she was a highly respected woman, probably gave a lot of people a lot of good advice. All right, she was a prayer warrior, and she was a servant of the Lord, and she was well reputed to have been known to be someone who was sound in faith, who gave good advice. And the Bible says that when she came in right after Simeon did, she also gave thanks to the Lord, and she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So there were many people in Jerusalem who were patiently waiting for the Messiah. And this woman began to speak to them about the fact that this little Jesus is the Messiah that God has finally sent. So let's close by just saying this. There's a lot of people doing a lot of hustling and bustling around Jerusalem and the temple precincts. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, Simeon, Anna, and those looking for redemption in Jerusalem, God's little flock, amidst the hustle and bustle of those who couldn't care less, God's little flock is able to rejoice. So never be intimidated by the fact that the world seems to have more people on their side than you do. Because though the church may be small and beggarly in the eyes of the world, yet surrounding the church of Christ are the hosts of heaven. Think of that servant of Elijah who was so worried because the armies of Israel's enemies were standing at a distance. And Elijah the prophet says, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And this servant, who was filled with fear, looked up. He saw the armies of the enemy, and then around them, as far as the eye could see, myriads upon myriads of holy angels, the hosts of heaven, surrounding Elijah and this servant of the Lord, and filling this servant with comfort that those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen.